Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Tokyo 1972. The Nicest God. Trivikram Swami was showing me a letter from his younger brother, a Christian, when we heard the buzzer. Prabhupada's calling us, he said. We both rushed for Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada sat behind his low desk, smiling and peaceful. Trivikram Swami took out his letter and showed Prabhupada the tract, the Bible tract, his brother had enclosed. Quote, it was titled, A Hindu Turns to Jesus. Trivikram read, While many Westerners are turning to Hare Krishna, here is a Hindu who has a PhD who has been saved by Jesus. The tract then quoted the ex-Hindu's criticism of Indian religion. Quote, they believe in the caste system and that an eternal soul changes from body to body. This is against Christianity and the words of the Holy Bible. Hare Krishnas, like most Hindus, also worship stone idols of Krishna, giving the stone the same respect as God. Prabhupada listened silently. Trivikram finished and asked Prabhupada what he thought. Prabhupada replied, He has a big PhD and still he has not learned anything. He then reached for a large manila envelope and slipped out an 8 by 10 inch photo. Keeping its back to us, Prabhupada looked at the picture with devotion. Then he turned the picture over to show us exquisitely adorned Rukmini Dwarkadish. He said proudly, Anyway, our God is the nicest God. My comment. Prabhupada buzzed for us simply to share a gift he had just received from Los Angeles. How could he take the tract's criticism seriously when he was taking darshan of the nicest God, Rukmini Dwarkadish of Los Angeles? The intoxication of Maya. When I was in Prabhupada's association, at times I felt practically liberated. At other times, however, I felt miserable and even more entangled in Maya than usual. I asked Prabhupada why this happened. He simply replied, The intoxication of Maya is very strong. My comment. An exalted devotee is powerful. His association may award us, despite our disqualifications, with a semblance of transcendence. But until our attachment to Krishna is mature, Maya is strong enough to pull us down. Maya cannot touch us, however, if we somehow remain always in Krishna's shelter. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Andakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayara Adhikar. Krishna is compared to sunshine, and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:31. As soon as one takes the Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion, the influence of the external energy, will immediately vanish. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When a person is Krishna conscious, he continuously hears about Krishna, thinks about him, worships him, and serves him as a devotee. If he remains in Krishna consciousness in this way, the darkness of Maya certainly will not be able to touch him. That was the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. My comment continues. In Prabhupada's association, being unsurrendered or on the mental platform was still more apparent and painful. On the other hand, those who do not practice Krishna consciousness fall victim to Maya and suffer regardless of the fortune of their circumstance. Prabhupada explains in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 10:65, Maya is so strong that Kala Krishna Das left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company to join gypsy women. Even though a person may associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He can be a lord by Maya and leave the lord's company due to his slight independence. One need only misuse his little independence. Once fallen and separated from the supreme personality of Godhead's association, one becomes a candidate for suffering in the material world. That was the end of that section. Adding to the Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada asked for a Srimad Bhagavatam volume from which to give his morning class. I ran to the temple library and from the few books present, chose the single second canto chapter, Answers Citing the Lord's Version. Knowing that this chapter contained the four seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, I thought to please Prabhupada by my choice of chapters. I also considered that hearing Prabhupada explain these essential verses would be wonderful. I ran back to Prabhupada and handed the thin volume to him. Prabhupada accepted the book from my hand and smiled. My comment. I was happy to do this service for Prabhupada, and I carefully and quickly considered the available books before choosing. At the time, I thought that Prabhupada was pleased by my choice. In retrospect, however, I think that if Prabhupada was pleased with anything, it was not my choice of Bhagavatam volumes, but my attempt to make a conscious choice and my quick return. Introducing the Daily Bhagavatam Sloka. During Prabhupada's visit to Japan in 1972, he introduced the system of devotees chanting the Bhagavatam slokas before class. The system is basically the same one we use everywhere in ISKCON today, but with two differences. On his first day with us, Prabhupada started with the first verse of the chapter. He read the sloka and taught it to us. His morning class covered the subject of this first verse. On the second day, he chanted the verse from the previous day, line by line, and we responded in unison. Then he taught us the second verse. In addition, each devotee was expected to chant the sloka for that day individually, while the rest of the devotees chanted each line responsively. On the third day, Prabhupada chanted the first two slokas line by line, and we again responded in unison. He then taught us the third sloka. Day after day, we chanted all the previous verses we had studied with Prabhupada before learning the day's verse. And comment. By chanting each Sanskrit sloka every day, we naturally memorize them. To this day, I more or less remember the opening slokas of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, and the sound of all the slokas that we covered in the chapter remains familiar. Satadanya Prabhu, who was also present, offers the following remembrance. One day, Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan. He became very upset and, speaking loudly, described how he had gone through all the trouble to include the Sanskrit slokas and transliterations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but the devotees were neither showing any interest nor learning the correct Sanskrit pronunciation. In short, they were ignoring the Sanskrit he had placed in his books. He became adamant and said that from now on, everyone in ISKCON must learn to pronounce correctly and understand the Sanskrit slokas. For the next 3 weeks, every morning in Srimad Bhagavatam class, he called upon each devotee, requesting us to chant the slokas aloud. The thing that made it unique was that Prabhupada would take 10 or 15 minutes with one person and personally teach him how to pronounce every single Sanskrit syllable in the sloka. And that way, Prabhupada went around the temple room and personally taught the 7 or 8 people every day. We were studying the second canto, Answers Citing the Lord's Version, and I remember even to this day the slokas which Prabhupada drilled into us intensely day after day. In fact, we would all get tutored by Pradyumna during the day so that the next morning we would not be embarrassed. We were finally able to correctly chant the slokas in that chapter. Before Prabhupada left, he announced there would be a final exam in the temple room. All of us came at class time, and Prabhupada called on each of us to recite the entire chapter in Sanskrit. Then Prabhupada went through the trouble to make corrections and tell us how we did. This went on for hours. and he told each of us whether our recitation was good or we needed more work. Somehow, I was last, because I was sitting on the side opposite the Vyasa-san. So when everyone had spoken, I took my turn. I recited the whole chapter. Then Prabhupada looked at me and said, "First prize." Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.